He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday midweek edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And we are up today, but I'm seeing a lot of it doesn't look as good underneath the surface. There's a little bit of profit taking going on in the AI chip sector, being led by ASM, which reported earnings. I think they're down 3 or 4%. That's kind of dragging down the chips. But the Dow today right now is up. The Dow is up. No, it just went to the negative here. Boy, I'll tell you what, these days are so volatile. The Dow is down 176, but the NASDAQ is up 122. Okay, and I'll have to see what it is in the NASDAQ that's working. Maybe something else is leading that NASDAQ. The S&P 500, meanwhile, is up 7 points, and the Russell 2000 is up a couple of points. We've got oil, let's see. I mean, that's kind of driving the bus right now. Oil is down. It's basically flat. It's down to 94.77 today. Gold is basically flat. The 10-year is basically flat at 4.27%. Crypto, I'm not getting any quote there on crypto today. We'll have to take a look at that a little bit later. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner. We have a little bit of downdraft in the market today. We've had our first tech company report earnings this morning, along with a few more big banks like Bank of America and financial like Morgan Stanley. And overall, the market is up a little bit. But like I say, underneath the surface, we're seeing some selling today, profit-taking in SanDisk, Applied Materials, Dell, Seagate, ASM Lithography, et cetera. And we also
which
had a decent day yesterday.
Right, Bill?
Well, yeah,
it makes
they don't
sense.
Go up every day.
I saw something where the semiconductor index over the last 10 days is up the most since 2001.
Yeah.
So it might be time for a tad bit of profit taking, yeah.
Yes, and I pointed that out in my newsletter over the weekend. I said, look, oil dropped 14% and the chip sector broke out to a new all-time high. And really, I can't think of any other sector in the market that is breaking out to a new all-time high right now, like the chip sector is. So you're going to see profit-taking from time to time in that chip sector. The oil stocks were pretty weak yesterday. I was looking at a lot of the big oil stocks, especially. They're selling off. They were selling off quite a bit yesterday. But at the end of the day, we had a decent day in the market. We hit a new all-time high yesterday in the market. The Dow was up 0.5%. The NASDAQ was up almost 2% yesterday. And we were up, I think, well over 1.3, somewhere in there yesterday. And, of course, you do have oil. Now, I think what's on the front burner right now, those burners change. As you're cooking a meal, you know, you put things on the back burner, you get the sauce done, now it's time to work on the meatballs, blah, blah, blah. Then you put the spaghetti in last to get the spaghetti noodles. Okay, the same thing happens in the market. And right now that front burner, peace talks. There's a hope that Iran has so much pressure on them. An embargo, that's an act of war. That's a major act of war. If I'm not mistaken, Barry, where we live, Charleston, the harbor was shut off by the British in the Revolutionary War. Okay, Sullivan's Island, Fort Moultrie.
Been blockaded a couple of times
yes.
over the years.
And the good old Southerners repelled the British. And really caused them great harm. Their fleet there from Fort Moultrie, which, you know, I don't live too far from there. I go right by it in my boat when I head out to sea. And then eventually they came back with more military and sacked Charleston and burnt down the city to the ground. So, okay, well, there's that. But an embargo is an act of war. You're cutting off supplies coming in, and that means food, water, whatever else, weapons, and you're blocking off what's going out. And, you know, at that time, Charleston, well, especially during the Civil War, South Carolina was one of the richest colonies because of the rice, which they called the, what did they call the rice? Something gold.
Carolina gold.
Carolina gold. And we still have Carolina gold rice. Sometimes you'll get a shrimp and grits this year with Carolina gold rice. It has a beautiful gold color. We also, off the cotton, right? The cotton that we made here. And the indigo that we dyed.
Yeah.
That deep blue that so many houses, their interior design. We have a lot of indigo. I have a lot of indigo in my house here. Because of the history.
Keeps the, it's like blue sky, keeps the spirits away as well.
Yeah, well, that's another one, too.
There's a superstition on the porch, right?
Yeah, there's another light blue that supposedly keeps the, hate blue, I think, that keeps the evil spirits away. I tried painting hate blue on my balconies, the bottoms of the balconies. And it just didn't look good on my house, and I went back to white. But anyways, that hate blue, you see it all over the place. Very superstitious. Okay, hopes of U.S. and Iran peace talks. Of course, President Trump, he's not ever at a loss for words. He's always keeping the world updated on what he's doing. But he indicated yesterday or last night, late in the evening, Iran had reached out. They're reaching out for potential negotiations, even as the U.S. Moved forward with a blockade. That's the word I'm looking for, a blockade of the Strait of Hormuz. And, overnight, the Asian equities rallied on hopes that a deal could be reached, some kind of peace talks. Because Iran has got their back to the wall. They really do. They have their backs to the wall, especially with the blockade taking place. And, I mean, obviously that is a negotiation thing, and he's hoping that that brings them to the table. So they are mulling a second bid to revive the ceasefire talks. And I think China, they want the ceasefire talks. And that's why they're recommending places that are basically proxies of China, like Pakistan. That's probably where they want to hold it, because that's a proxy state of China. And China has a lot at stake here, especially with the embargo of oil leaving the Strait of Hormuz. China needs a pipeline, I guess, going from Iran to China.
And, that'd be sizable.
yes. And in the meantime, China receives oil from Iran via ship. And right now they've got their oil cut off. And of course, China is calling this whole thing a dangerous move by the U.S. So a lot of plates spinning in the air right now. And I'm just happy that the market has been overlooking the back and forth in the Middle East and has been watching earnings. Earnings have driven the market here. We've had, I don't know, it's been an incredible run. From the time we put out this is a compelling buy opportunity, man, I'll tell you what, you're telling me the semiconductors have made the best. And, of course, we have a very big position right now in that tech AI related sector, and that has really boosted our performance so far this year in our four portfolios, especially the Ultra Growth and the Premier Growth. They have done really, really well. Because they're focused on those earnings. It's just incredible. I was showing someone yesterday, I said, look at these annual earnings. I showed him Micron. I showed him SanDisk. I showed him a Broadcom. I said, look, see the earnings last year? See the earnings that are expected this year? Now look at the earnings that are expected next year. And in some cases, I mean, you're looking at triple-digit growth or 80% growth in earnings. And that is going to weigh heavily and boost big time your earnings for the overall market, which now stand at $372 per share for next year. Okay, I hear a little Arlo Guthrie there. We'll get on that City of New Orleans, and we'll be right back.
I'm your native son. I'm the train they call the City of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Let's just take a quick look here at a couple of key commodities right now. The first one would be oil, obviously. Let's take a look at a chart of oil. The oil stocks did not look good yesterday, but you never know. You know, this thing is still a very, very, very fluid situation. And just when you think it's time to get out of those oil stocks, you get some kind of big shock in that Middle East again, and you say, gee, I'm glad I still have some exposure to the oil stocks. It's just a crazy back-and-forth kind of ping-pong match taking place right now. But let's look at a chart of just the of oil itself. Yeah, I mean, that chart still looks pretty good on oil. It has entered into a number three sideways consolidation trend after a very steep uptrend. I mean, look, oil went from 65 barrel. We got it. What was the high? Maybe almost 120, not quite, but a huge gain. And now you've leveled off and you've come back a little bit. That's where we're at on oil.
Yeah, still up. I was looking at some of these commodity prices going down the list, and we've got you've got crude oil up 59% year to date, Brent up 55% year to date, gasoline up 76% year to date.
Ouch.
Steel was an interesting one. I think steel's up 17%,
yeah,
lithium up 40%.
Yeah. Wow.
And even after the big up and down moves in gold and silver, they're still positive for the year. Both are up
a
little bit, almost basically just call it 12% for both. So.
Well, the natural gas chart doesn't look good at all, UNG, and that's hurting the natural gas stocks. Cheniere, but Cheniere has pulled back. I mean, it got to 300, and now it's gone through a little correction. And now it's kind of starting to form a sideways trend once again. Cheniere, VG, which is Venture Global, same kind of thing, is trying to level off now after a pretty steep correction. Natural gas stocks have gone down about 25% over the last 3 or 4 weeks during this ride my seesaw moment over there in the Middle East. And then what's the third one I was going to? Oh, well, let's just take a look at Halliburton here, too, because Halliburton is more of a infrastructure. It still looks pretty good. It has leveled off also into what we call a number three topping out trend, but you can't really say topping out because it could break out again to the upside. Let's just call it a leveling off trend, like an airliner that ascends to 30,000 feet and then it finally levels off. It could take off to 40,000 feet again, or it could roll over and start descending. So it's in that number three sideways trend after a big uptrend here recently, and that's pretty much all the oil service stocks at the current time. Okay, we've got, Powell, why don't you Google that? His deadline is coming up really quickly here. when he has to step down, and of course, Powell says he doesn't plan to leave his position on the Board of Governors, but as the head, his term is up.
I think it's the 15th. May. Yeah, it's May 15th. So we got, yes. Saw something where I think to next week, I believe there's going to be some, hearings are set for Kevin Warsh. And then, the word is, at least at this point, he's kind of hasn't said he's going to step down. Most chairmen don't go back to the board. He has the ability to go back to the board if he wants to, but, it's just one of those deals to see how it plays out with the, obviously he's got
Trump
some.
Trump says he'll fire him if he doesn't leave.
Well, and he's got, I mean, he's tried that before. With the I forget the other lady's name, but that didn't stick, right? The one who had the the mortgage issues.
The mortgage, right? And obviously, I mean, when he had the show The Apprentice, that was the most famous line from the "You're fired."
You're fired.
The other thing that I did not know, Kevin Warsh is married to the daughter of the Estee Lauder fortune.
Really? I did not know that piece. Okay.
So his net worth is like $190 million. So he's doing all right. The same thing, John Kerry was married to Teresa Hines, who is the Hines ketchup fortune. So, hey, you know. They've got the dough. Do they make good wives? I don't know about that. You'd have to ask John Kerry and Kevin Warsh, but it's certainly fattened his bank account. Now, the other really interesting thing that's going to take place here, U.S. prepares to refund billions of dollars from the Trump tariffs. You think my check's in the mail?
For your trains?
On those HO locomotives coming from China that I paid a $20 or $30 tariff on, where's my check? Who's going to get these checks? How is this ever going to be figured out? What a nightmare. And you have to put in a claim. Well, Barry, I don't really know. Well, it didn't say anywhere on my invoice how much I paid in tariffs. I didn't really save my invoices. I'd have to put in a claim for $67.27 or something like that.
Well, and that's why all that confusion, right, is the reason why I kind of expected the Supreme Court to go a different direction on it, simply because of the complications in terms of unwinding what had occurred. So I know I heard Bessent talking a little bit about the 10% tariff, and I guess the deadline for those are coming up here in the summertime, and so we'll probably have a little more of that tariff talk as we get closer and closer to that date.
Well, he says that the tariffs may be restored by July to the levels in place before the Supreme Court struck down. So another crisis coming, in other words. We saw what happened last time the tariffs started coming in. The S&P went down to 4,800, which was also the last great buying opportunity before this one that occurred about 2 weeks ago. All right, Anthropic. They draw investor interest. Right now they're being valued at $800 billion. We've been talking a lot about these companies and how much it's going to take to build out the infrastructure, what it's going to take to become cash flow positive, what it's going to take to become profitable at any point in time. But Bessent is hailing Anthropic's mythos as a key edge in the AI race with China. Bessent is a smart guy. I mean, he's been a very valuable asset to the U.S. government. I see it that way anyways. And not only in peace talks, but in kind of a calm voice when the tariff talks were going. And now he's giving great praise to Anthropic, which is Claude. It's Claude. He's singling out Mythos. Now, Anthropic is the one they had the fight with, isn't it?
Well, it's an ongoing, an ongoing fight. And the interesting thing is, I saw where they had a new Anthropic release, and they didn't only wanted to give it to so many people because it was going to be dangerous.
Yes, I know. I saw that. Okay, well, when we come back. We do have some earnings today that we'll get to, and I always like to bring you up to date on how they rank as stocks in today's market, these companies reporting earnings. We'll be right back.
Well, the top brass don't like him talking so much, and he won't play what they say to play.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Another thing that's going on right now in Europe, they are putting together a fall back plan very, very quickly in case the U.S. exit NATO. NATO would be on their own as far as protecting themselves. The U.S. would not be obligated to come to their aid. So a contingency plan is being drawn up to ensure Europe's defense using NATO's existing military structure. It's gaining traction after getting a buy-in from Germany. So Trump has definitely been the most, you know, transformational president we've ever had. Whether you like it or not, or whether I like it or not, there's been a lot of transformation during this, and you know, retooling NATO and redrawing the rules there, and who's in it and whatnot. That's a big change in the world, and it's reflected in the spending. They were contributing 1 or 2% of their budget to NATO. Now it's up to 5%. Now they're thinking about going it alone. We've had a little bit of drop in interest rates here recently. The 30-year, I like looking at the 30-year mortgage because that's where the rubber meets the road for the home buyer. 6.42% right now on the 30-year. The banks had a record month on trading revenues. Why do you think that is? Because there's a transformational president, whether good or bad, in the office, creating a lot of volatility. Revenues soar at the banks amid war-driven market volatility. Trading desk of Wall Street banks notched new milestones with their first quarter results, capitalizing on market volatility fueled by the Iran war. J.P. Morgan posted its highest ever trading revenue for the quarter. Highest ever.
Highest ever? That's interesting.
Well, Citigroup reported its highest quarterly market revenue in a decade. J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo together reported over $25 billion of profits for the first quarter. Well, hey, this feeds into the S&P 500 earnings picture, right?
Well, here's my question, Bill. Is they made a bunch of trading revenue for themselves. I wonder how much trading they did for their clients.
We don't see many changes. They're not charging for trading anymore. So this is just trading their own accounts and whatnot.
Right. Exactly.
They don't really get any fees from trading.
If you look at client portfolios that come from there, they're very static.
They didn't have a record quarter.
They probably didn't have a trade, you know, and a lot
no.
of them. So, I don't know.
Maine is set to be the first U.S. state to pass a moratorium on big data centers. So if you want to build a big data center, don't go to Maine. The governor up there has a moratorium. That's Janet Mills. The governor agrees with lawmakers that the rapid growth of large-scale AI data centers warrants careful evaluation of the impacts on public resources, the environment, and Maine ratepayers. So she supports a moratorium to ensure those impacts are fully understood. When you also have Bernie Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez introducing a bill to impose a federal moratorium on AI data centers until strong national safeguards are in place.
Well, the issue is, guess what? The rest of the world might not have those moratoriums in place, and you get
they'll go somewhere,
right? So you've got to, I mean, you know, whether you like it or not, to stay ahead in AI, you have to have access to data centers. So
yes, okay. We recently wrote up for me one of the stocks of the day to the upside here. Now we're getting into the individual stock portion of the show here, which we always get to usually in the second half. Big contract breakout, new highs for Broadcom this morning. Look at that chart on AVGO, which is one of our largest holdings. And I'm going to go look at the article that we wrote recently and how much the stock is up since we wrote that article. And I want to just take you real quickly through our thesis on why we thought we put out a strong buy on it at that time, which I'll get you the date here. Let's see. I got to get to my Seeking Alpha over here, and we'll pull up our articles that we've written lately, and we'll just take a look at how well that recommendation, not a recommendation, story, and a buy from our app. We'll see how well that stock is done and see if it's produced any alpha. All systems are go for Broadcom. That was on March 17th. That's pretty
well,
bullish.
It's done well.
It's only been 29 days, right?
Yep.
29
yeah.
days. It's up 23.4%, strong buy. The S&P during that same period of time is up 4%. And our thesis, as always, it begins with the track record of the stock. We put that right in the article. This is what Broadcom has done in the past 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, and 10 years. This is the average return. The 10-year is 41%. The 5-year is 54%. The 3-year is 79%. The 12-month is 94%. That puts Broadcom from a performance A-plus rating. I grade on the curve, so it's in the top 5-6% of all stocks in the market to get that A-plus performance grade. And then we next look to the next 5 years. That's the future. Looking to the past is one thing. Looking to the future is another. We at that time showed Broadcom with 94% upside potential. 94% over the next 5 years. That's an A value grade. And, you know, it was a very highly ranked stock at the time. We showed you what our target price was at the time. Great article. One of my junior analysts, I basically, you know, I steer them. And he's getting better and better and better. I have to do less and less steering, but I still pick the stock. I still rewrite anything. I'm the one that submits the article, makes any last-minute changes. Broadcom is up today after inking a 3-year deal with Meta to develop AI chips. And, you know, throwing money at these IPOs that don't have any earnings, and it still befuddles me why Meta is not doing better. They're in the same business, really, as these companies that are going to go public, and they have massive earnings already in the books. But it's all like there's hardly a day goes by where Nibius doesn't get some big contract, where AMD doesn't get some big contract.
Even CoreWeave had one today. They've been on a roll.
And we've seen all of a sudden renewed life in NVIDIA. All of a sudden NVIDIA's waking up, but Broadcom is waking up big time. Please go to Seeking Alpha and just click on follow this guy. Follow him. Let me know. Let me get an alert in my email when they've got a new article. I have three right now in the pipeline that I need to do the finishing touches for. I'm a little bit behind. We were on our Sarasota trip last week. But
yeah, Jordan's been busy.
He's been busy, and I told him, hey, let's lay off the articles for a few days here and let Bill get caught up on the ones that are currently in the pipeline. And those will be on individual stocks, and you know, you should take a look when we try to pick the timing. You know, everything's got a line in the planetary system: the valuation, the track record, the chart, all of that. Okay, and of course we did pretty good so far. With now, here's another one, and this was reflected yesterday. It's not reflected so much today. Samsung. They're South, I think those are the SDS shares. I don't know what SDS stands for. Surged 20% on a KKR partnership and an $820 million bond purchase announcement. Well, Samsung is the fourth. That stock was up 21% this morning. That stock is the fourth maker of memory chips in the world. But you can't buy Samsung stock. Look at the... pull up SSNLF, SSNLF, and it's just not, it doesn't trade any volume, very strange trading.
Certainly can't put it in a portfolio because you gotta have two. We need too many shares for sure.
You have to go into the ETF, the South Korean ETF. To get exposure, like DRAM, D-R-A-M, has exposure to these DRAM makers, including Samsung. But it was up 20% as KKR makes a big partnership with them. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about NVIDIA and the optical network bottleneck. We'll be right back.
You got it.
And welcome back here to the final segment today of the Best Stocks Now show. NVIDIA's newest AI model spark around quantum computing stocks. We haven't talked about the quantum computing stocks for quite some time. The Rigettis of the world and the QBTS, and there's a few. There's a new one, XNDU, INFQ.
D-Wave. My problem with was D-Wave.
D-Wave.
One of them? That was one.
Yeah. QBTS, IonQ, and
Iron.
My problem with them is they're so long term, and you know there's so many stocks right now, like the Broadcoms, where you know a bird in the hand is worth more than one in the bush, and that one in the bush may never really materialize. And you know, quantum's getting more. IBM is moving towards quantum and whatnot. None of the stocks have done very well at all. I see them mostly in number one sideways trends after steep downtrends. At least they finally found a landing pad to land on. But, you know, the prospects for the sales and the earnings are still down the road quite a ways. And there's so many companies that the earnings are here now. It's hard to for people to just sit and wait for these quantum computing stocks. Optical networking and memory emerges the top AI bottlenecks. Well, I would say also the governor in Maine, Janet Mills, is a little bit of a bottleneck, and Bernie and AOC are a little bit of a bottleneck for AI. But the optical networking, you know, that's kind of a recent phenomenon. Where all of a sudden this Lumentum and Applied Electronics, Optoelectronics, they have joined. We're not seeing the same kind of exponential growth that we're seeing in the flash memory, the DRAM. But you've seen some massive moves. Let's just take a look here at AAOI today. Where's my chart? Right there. Okay, AAOI, and then the number one stock in this space seems to be Lumentum. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Applied Electronics is down just a little bit, but it exploded from 32. It began the year at 32, and it's 142.
And it was pretty much flat.
Holy cow!
I mean, flat. It was in a trading range for a long time, and then since that breakout, it's broken out
bam.
A couple of times.
As Emerald would say, "Bam!" And, you know, they lost 26 cents last year. They're going to make 94 cents this year. They're going to make $4.64 next year. That's 392% growth. And there's a bottleneck. They can't produce it fast enough, and that drives up price because the supply is not there. It's not meeting the demand right now. Now, let's take a look at Lumentum, which is really the it's got the same exact chart as AAOI. It's been on a roll, and there's just a little bit of profit taking place right now. Stinking Lumentum began the year at about 320, and it's 847 4 months into the year. Their earnings, $1 last year, 206, actually 2 years ago, $1. Last year, $2.06, that's a double. This year, $7.79, that's up 278%. And next year, $16. So you're going from $1 in earnings per share to $16 per earning, earnings per share in just a 3 year period of time. And do stocks follow earnings and earnings expectations? Well, the stock's gone from 400 to 845, actually 325 to 845 since the beginning of the year. We already bought and sold it and took a big profit in it,
right.
And might be looking to get back in at some point in time. But that's just unbelievable move. Okay, you know the other one? The hyperscalers, which Amazon, Meta, Google, Microsoft. I saw a big move in Amazon yesterday.
You were talking about Amazon yesterday. Yeah,
I don't know what it was about. We were pretty busy yesterday with a lot of things, and I didn't really see what that move in Amazon was about. But it has something to do with AI, and it might have something to do with competing with Elon Musk, Starlink. I don't know. There was some kind of news yesterday on Amazon. Let me see if it's following through today.
Oh, it was the global. It was that Global Star deal. That's what it was.
Oh, that's
about
what
Amazon
was
going to acquire Global Star, which they provide satellite.
With.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yep. And it kind of dovetails into what I mean. You know, ambitions of rockets and other things that Bezos had, right? Remember, didn't he shoot Oprah into the atmosphere once or something? I believe
he should have left her there. No, I'm just
kidding. Katy Perry. Like, and Katy Perry.
Yeah, now she could have let her orbit the moon until you know, the dark side of the moon. I don't like Katy Perry myself. Amazon, it's disappointed me every time I've gotten back into Amazon. I just think of this, all this overhead and all these trucks and trying to get the deliveries out in time and just kind of the franticness of the whole thing. But, you know, the core that keeps it stable is their AWS, and now they're going to make a play for Global Star to offer internet. What else? I mean, it's the A to Z store. That was his vision right from the start, Bezos. To sell everything from A to Z, and it started out as books, putting a lot of the bookstores. We still have a Barnes and Noble in our neighborhood. I haven't been to it.
It's hanging in there.
In years.
It's hanging in there. Yeah.
Okay. Well. All right.
Hey,
okay,
if Bed Bath & Beyond can stay around for that long, then, of course, I would think probably Barnes & Noble has some staying power, maybe, right?
Well, we're out of time. Hopefully, we'll have the final details on Minneapolis. We're not going to do it at the Mall of America. We're going to find an alternative place because I hear that the Mall of America is just not that popular of a place to go anymore. So we're looking at Edina or one of those nearby towns to hold our workshop.
Send some suggestions, like you said.
Yes, and I think Edie is on it. And we're getting, some calls. And those hour spots always go pretty quickly in Minnesota. If you want to reserve a spot to the workshop or an individual meeting with the team, including myself, call 855-611-BEST. If you want to set up an appointment with us anywhere, 855-611-BEST. And to get 4 weeks of the newsletter, the app, the daily trading alerts, the market commentary, etc., go to GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com, and have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.